Well, I want to preach for a little while about a subject here in Luke chapter number 7. We'll look at verse number 36 as you find your place there in Luke 7. We'll look at verse 36 as you find your place there in Luke 7. I did hear this story about this this old boy from West Virginia. He was talking about his travel plans to somebody. He was in the spring. He was going to go later. He was talking to somebody. He says, "Well, I'm going to go down to San Jose." The guy said, "What?" "Yeah." He said, "San Jose." He said, "Well, I think you mean San Jose." He said, "No, I'm looking at it." He pulled out a map. He said, "Look right there, San Jose, J-O-S-E. He said, "Well, yeah, but that's how it's spelled. That's not how it's said." He said, "It just sounds like an H. It's San Jose." He said, "Are you sure?" He said, "Yeah, I'm sure." He said, "I don't think so." He said, "Well, yeah, it's right." He said, "I'm glad you caught me." He said, "I'd hate to be embarrassed when I went down there." He said, "Well, I'm glad I caught you too. That's fine." And so thank you so much for straightening me out on that. The other fellow said, "Well, when are you going down to San Jose?" He said, "Probably not till Hoon or Hulai." You got to watch him, I tell you. Luke chapter 7, verse 36, the Bible says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in that city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." We'll stop there, but we'll look at some of the other passages as we make our way through the message. But we have this beautiful story, especially in verse 37 and 38, of this precious woman who anoints the feet of Jesus Christ. And you look over just across the page in chapter 8, verse 1, 2, and 3, you'll see there's a few other ladies who minister to him. Look at verse 2, "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuzo, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance." We're going to look this morning at this true worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to think about this. I realize that we would like for everybody to do it exactly like you do it. If you raise your hand, you want other people to raise your hand. If you're quiet and stoic, you want other people to be quiet and stoic. If you do it this way, you want everybody else to seem to do it that way. But sometimes I think we need to think about this, and we like to see everybody worship exactly the way that you do, but realizing that that isn't always the way that God might lead them. And so as we preach through this, I trust it's a blessing to you. In verse 38, the Bible says, "And stood at his feet." And I want you to think about this. I'm going to tell the story here, but the love bestowed by this lady upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And the story is that Simon the Pharisee, we're right on the heels of Jesus talking about that generation. Remember last time we looked at that and we said that Jesus said there was a John the Baptist. He came through and you thought he had a devil, and now you call me a glutton and a wine bibber. And so he's just on the tail end of that. And possibly one of those Pharisees that's there looking at Jesus Christ on that day, possibly one of those is mentioned up in verse number 30, but somebody, this Simon, this Pharisee, is asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come and be at his house. Now, that would have not been uncommon, because there would have been saved and unsaved people that wanted to know more about Christ. He was an interesting person. He had much fame going about in the area, and so saved or unsaved would have liked to have had him. And so traditions of the day would have told us that they would probably had a U-shaped table there, and they wouldn't have sat in chairs like we would have. They would have reclined there, possibly with the feet off to the side or back to the back of them. And that's how we come. The lady comes up behind Jesus, and her tears wet his feet. And I thought about this, though. How does this lady, who certainly this Pharisee didn't have any use for her and wouldn't have had her come into his house, how would she have gotten there? Some commentators said that it wasn't uncommon in a setting like that, if they had a meal, that the doors would have been open and folks from the community or the neighborhood might have come in and stood around the wall and looked at the people who were there, the guests of the Pharisee. And so quite possibly that's the way this lady came in, and she just came around to observe and be around the outside of the wall. But regardless, she can't take it anymore, and so she comes up to the Lord Jesus Christ and she worships him. The Bible says that she began to wash his feet with her tears in verse number 38 there. And we see this, there's tears over the sin that she has committed. You say, how do you know that? Well, we know in verse 38 about the tears, but then in verse number 47, Jesus said, wherefore say I unto her, sins which are many are forgiven. And so she had the tears over her sin. This woman is broken. Can't even bring herself to look up to the face of Jesus, just stays down there at the feet and wets his feet with her tears, and she realizes who Jesus Christ is. And I was thinking about this as getting ready. Look at the contrast between the Pharisee, possibly up here at the head of the table, and then this lady who will not even get past the feet of Jesus and not lift her head up. She has these tears and this remorse for the life she's lived and this desire to look upon Jesus, and he, a powerful, prestigious Pharisee, and she, just a sinner, a harlot, somebody who was involved in things that shouldn't be. But she comes to Christ and the tears over her sin. But not only that, using her hair out of humility, her tears are flowing down and falling on his feet, and she needs to dry them, but she has nothing left or nothing there. And so she takes the hair of her head and dries the feet, and then she kisses his feet. And I think this has got to be humility exemplified. Just if you looked at the word humility in the dictionary, you could quite possibly put this picture or this image of a lady that's just down there using her hair to dry the feet of Christ. But not only that, in verse number 37, it talks about the alabaster box of ointment that she had brought, and she spares no expense to come and bring it to Jesus. But you've got to understand, because of her line of work, because of what she had been involved in, probably the ointment was bought with money and retrieved in ways that would not have been acceptable to the Pharisee or to anybody for that matter. Or else it was a gift from one of the men that she had had as a customer. Whatever the case may be, notice that Jesus doesn't say, where did you get this? She just, with broken humility, spares no expense and breaks this out after she dries his feet with her hair, and she puts this ointment upon his feet and anoints them. I'm thinking about the love that's bestowed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I look at my own life and I look sometimes how busy we get and how much we forget to thank God for what he's done, and how often we just go on like everything's going to be just the way it always has been, and not having that love and that compassion for the Lord Jesus Christ. I read a story of a monk that in the medieval times was announced that he was speaking on the love of God. In that large gathering there, he waited until the sun went down and it was shining through those beautiful stained glass windows. And he said nothing until the sun went all the way down and it quit shining through those windows onto the floor there. And he lit a candle in that room, and he took that candle and he held it close to a statue of the Lord Jesus Christ and held it up to his head where there was a crown of thorns. And then he took it from that crown of thorns over and took it to the hands on either side where the nail prints were in those hands on that statue, and then he took it to the side where there was a hole where the spear had been shoved through, and showed all about this statue. And after he was done with that, he sat back down and he extinguished the flame, and then he walked out and he told someone later, I walked out because there was nothing left to say. My friend, when you think about it, if you would stop and ponder, and I know that the devil's tactic is right now in this world, or in this age that we live, to try to get us busy from the time you awake to the time you go to bed, and you don't want to think about things. It's not that you don't want to, I guess. The world is trying to keep you on hustle and bustle, and we do not stop to think about all that Jesus Christ has done for us. And I do believe, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, he was asking about something for a message. He says, how do we get that across? And I said, I believe our need is to stop and ponder and think about what Jesus Christ has done for us. I see the love that's bestowed upon the Lord Jesus Christ from this lady. But not only that, I want us to look down the passage past where we read in verse number 44. We're going to see that not only is that love shown, but the arrogance is shown by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called out by him, I should say. Verse number 44. And he turned to the woman. Up until now, Christ has not looked at this lady. She's just there, and he's not looked at her. But the Bible says in this verse that he turns and looks at the lady. And as he turns to look at this woman, he says, Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. The arrogance that's called out by the Lord Jesus Christ is this. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. Look down at verse number 45. Thou gavest me no kiss. Verse number 46, my head with oil thou didst not anoint. He's speaking about washing his feet, which had been a customary thing to do as the travelers of the day would have gotten them dirty. And he said, Simon, you didn't do that. Also, the time of there would have been very common to have some kind of ointment or oil so they could put a little bit on their head after the journey. And then it would have also been very common to kiss on the side of the cheek. That would have been the way they would have greeted one another. And he says to this Pharisee, he says, Simon, you didn't do any of these things. But you and your arrogance decided that you were going to bypass all of those. And he'll give some accolades to the lady here in just a little bit. But all of those customary things that he could have, should have, and could, would have done if he'd have shown his love for the Lord Jesus Christ would indicate to me that he didn't want Jesus into his house because he wanted to worship him. He didn't even want to truly find out more about him. I believe that he wanted to find out a way that he could ridicule him or trip him up in something that he was going to say and use that against him later. That's what many times the Pharisees did. But regardless, he showed no hospitality. And he thinks ill of Jesus. Look back in verse number 39. He says there, the Pharisees which have bidden him saw it. He spake within himself saying, this man. Can you almost hear the condescending attitude in his thoughts? If he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman that this is that toucheth him. In his smug way, he calls out Christ and says that he wouldn't be listening to her, but he would have. That's what happened in chapter 8, verse number 2. Those ones, he listened to them as well. And there's many, many other places where he'd listen. He listened to the woman at the well. He knew what life she had been involved in. And he listened to the woman at the well. And he wanted to hear what she had to say. And he wanted to save her and forgive her sins. And he listened to other folks, as Mary Magdalene is mentioned there. But he listened to other people who were the outcasts of society. And society had pushed him to the perimeter and said, we don't want anything to do with them. And much as this lady would have been that one. But Jesus was glad to hear, and he calls out the hypocrisy and the arrogance of the Pharisee, but instead of that, Jesus recognizes the worship in the lady's heart. How arrogant are we to sometimes think that we don't want people to be in our midst unless they do it exactly like we are? My pastor was preaching one time, and this fellow that my sister brought in on our bus, he sat about four pews back, about where Bill Neal is right there. And he was listening to Pastor Norris preach, and Pastor Norris would tell a lot of stories and to illustrate the points, and he was telling a funny story. And Gary stood up about four or five rows back, and he looked at him, and they looked back at the crowd, and he said, he crazy. And it ruined some people's worship service, so they thought. His mental faculties were not all there, but he certainly did this. He certainly loved Jesus. And I'm afraid that we want people to do it exactly like we want them to do it, but if they're not going to do it exactly and precisely the way that we say it needs to be done, then we have no use for it. As I mentioned already, if you raise your hand, you expect somebody else to raise their hand. If you do this, you expect them to do the same. If you don't, you don't expect them to. I'm saying this morning, though, that this Pharisee is called out by the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, see this woman? She's done this and this and this. You did none. And the arrogance is called out. He not only calls out the arrogance of the Pharisee, but he also does this last thing, and that's he highlights the depth of this lady's love. Those same verses we looked at before when he says, you didn't do this thing. But in verse 44, says, she washed my feet with tears and wiped my feet with her hair. Verse number 45, since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Verse number 46, hath anointed my feet with ointment. What do you imagine that lady's doing today? I imagine she's doing about the same thing she was doing that day, worshiping the Lord. And it's so easy to get caught up in all of religion and forget that it all comes down to that true worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. These acts that were disdained by the Pharisee, but loved by Jesus. Who is it, that Jesus? He's that one that sticketh closer than a brother. He's that one that will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's that high tower. He's that shield. He's that buckler. How could we not love him? How could you not go out of this place today and spend your week all the throughout the week? How could you not be reminding and rehearsing in your mind about how good God has been to you? How is it that we couldn't be like this woman was and just consistently and constantly be praising the Lord? Oh, certainly somebody else may have something to say about it. And I'm ashamed to say that there have been times when I was in a service or I was in some other setting and I didn't do what God wanted me to do for the fear of the brethren or for the fear of somebody. And I'm saying this morning that you and I ought to have that love, that deep love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells this Pharisee, he says, of whom much is forgiven, that person also would love much. And my friend, there's nobody in this room that you've either had a lot forgiven because you are saved, or that you need to be saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and you've got a lot of sin that you need forgiven. Think with me for a moment. Here's this man of prestige, this man of means, this man of society. And here's this lady, this woman, that this man would have had nothing to do with. Yet Jesus lifts up her actions for all the world to see. And he minimizes and calls out the actions of the other man. Here's a hard thing for a pastor to say. But I believe there's lots of sermons that are being preached that will be forgotten, never to be brought up again. But when we see somebody in sincerity and in truth and worship the Lord, then, my friend, those things get bragged on by the Lord Jesus Christ. So where would I fit in? Am I that true worshiper that pays no attention to what other people are doing? Or am I too busy noticing other people that I forget to worship? I forget to praise God, forget to give Him glory. Sometimes I forget where I'm at. And you'll say churchy stuff out when you're out and about. The other day, somebody was saying something that had happened good. I said, man, amen. I was like, what? I said, I mean, that's good. That's great, isn't it? Yeah, that's great. But that's okay. And if you have that little bit of spirit of Pharisee that rears up in you, that somebody across over here on this side or up there or down here, wherever, that you don't quite know why they do what they do, you don't know why they do that, maybe it's something so simple as this. We think, well, that person should have done better, should have dressed better, should have dressed differently. My friend, we are too concerned about what other people are doing and not concerned enough about what the Lord sees. So sometimes we'll talk about, well, you ought to wear your Sunday best. And I'm not opposed to that. I wear this, you know. I'm not opposed to that. But that would mean if you've got one tuxedo tucked away in the back of the closet for weddings and funerals, I don't guess you wear it to a funeral, but weddings, that means we're going to see you in it every Sunday. And I, for one, am tired of seeing you in that tuxedo. So however you get here, be just fine. Again, I say that sometimes we're too worried about what's out there and we're not concerned enough about the Lord's and His thinking and His look on me. We used to get bread from Panera, and they would donate it, and it would be old, and so we would try to give it out to as many people as we could. There was one particular person, they came, and he did get way too much, but it was just going to be thrown out anyways, and he would give it away to some people around his apartment complex and different things, but it really irked some people, you know, offended them, made them mad that he just gathered all that. I said, well, it's all going to be wasted anyways, and they just didn't like that he was messing some things up. But I could tell you this, as you got to commune with and fellowship with him, I could tell he really did love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not sure why we let things bother us so much instead of just leaving it to the Lord. There's a good phrase, give it to God. You know what we're good at? We're good at saying that but not doing it. And I believe this lesson today teaches us that we ought to be a true worshiper. Worship the Lord and turn our eyes upon Him, not so much about what everybody else is doing. The Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. Well, I hope they don't think bad of me of that, and I hope this. My friend, if we would spend our time being concerned about what the Lord thinks, the other things would all take care of themselves. And I'd love to be a true worshiper. I see the love bestowed by this lady here. And I see Jesus calling out the arrogance of that Pharisee, but then He dives back in and highlights the love and the depth of it right in front of this man. So, are you that true worshiper? Are you that one that realizes your need and realizes that Jesus is the only one that can fill it? Or am I that self-righteous Pharisee who acts superior because I've got some things figured out? I believe it's true in other areas of our life. About the time you think you got it figured out, then some realization comes tumbling down in on you and you realize, I don't have anything figured out. And I believe that we ought to be like that lady, just worship the Lord in our lives. There are some of us in this room that we need to again fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ for all He's done and turn our eyes upon Him. As the song says, look full in His wonderful face, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I don't know that I even know Jesus Christ. My friend, you need to call upon Him. You need to turn to Jesus Christ from whatever you're living in and turn to Christ for salvation, because He's the only way that you can make it. Jesus said about Himself, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. So you need to bow your head and your heart and believe on Christ as your only hope of heaven, the only Savior, because that's what He is. So the invitation today, twofold, if you're here and you know the Lord, I challenge you to quit looking so much at what everybody else is doing. You just worship the Lord. You mind the Lord, as the old timers would say. And then if you're here not sure that you are saved, not sure that you put your faith in Christ, my friend, turn from your abilities, turn from yourself and your self-sustenance. Turn to Christ before it's eternally too late. I'm going to have Davina come and play that song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and as she comes and our organist comes as well. And as we sing this together, I would like for us just to ask the question, am I doing that? Am I turning my eyes upon Jesus? I forget what hymn number it is, but what is it? 336. Like she said, not like I said. Hey, Brother Nathan, thank you. It's a wonderful song, and we'll sing it first. We'll have our invitation here in just a moment, but it's 326, turn your eyes upon Jesus, and Nathan's going to lead us in that. And I want you to do yourself a favor and ask, am I doing that? Am I turning my eyes upon Jesus, or do I have my eyes on everybody else? I can tell you this, I'll compare and I'll contrast with everybody else and I'll not do myself any favors. Why don't you lead us in that? but maybe God's burned your heart this morning. Maybe you've been looking too much at people. You'd just be looking at Him. And I challenge you to visit with the Lord. You want to come down and pray? You want to make an altar out of your seat there, but there's plenty of room to pray. Or maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior. Turn your eyes upon Him. He's your only hope of heaven. And I'd love to take my Bible and show you how you can be sure you have Him as your Savior. Brother Nathan.
Through death into life. Through death into life everlasting.
We get our eyes off on so many things and so many people, and we do ourselves no favors. I'm going to ask Nathan Lees in one more verse of that. It's our going home song. If you want to, after that, we'll be done and we'll be dismissed. And Amy and I will be out in the lobby. But if you need to talk to somebody, then I'll be out there. But we certainly need to put first things first. And this church is for this time, this season, this year, right now. We gather around the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we all have in common. I'm so grateful for Him. We'll sing that as our going home song, and
great
we'll see you in the back.
Great promise to end on. His word shall not fail you.
Dismissed. God bless you.